right, Luke chapter number 10, and I want to begin reading in verse number 25 tonight. Luke's Gospel chapter 10 and verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering him, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Amen. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked up on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which, now of these three thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?
Yeah.
And he said, He that showed mercy on him.
Amen.
Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise.
Amen.
Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Let's look to Him in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You again tonight for the cross work of our Lord Jesus, for the precious blood that was shed there for the remission of our sins. Thank You, Lord, for giving Your life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank You, Lord, for loving us so that You came to where we were, give Your life on Calvary, rose again from the grave. And then, Lord, when we could not get to God, You came to where we were and lifted us out of our sin and blessed us and helped us, give us life. I praise You and thank You for that. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the Bible that You've given. And I pray that You'll show us divine help tonight by manifesting Your presence in this place. May every heart be moved and blessed and stirred for Thee tonight. Lord, help us to preach. Without You, Lord, I can do nothing. I certainly need the power and divine help of the Spirit of God tonight. But I pray You'll fill me with the Spirit of God and use me to be a blessing to this people. Help me to magnify Your precious name. You're worthy of our praise and our adoration, our love, our service, and our duties. I pray now that You'll give grace and help to every heart and every family, that You'll save sinners by delivering them from the depths of their sin, and God, that You'd help revive Your people, bless those that are sick and away from us. Give them the help that they need in their physical bodies, I pray. Touch us tonight and bless every family, cheer every soul that's here tonight. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You for what is done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Now, I want to preach a little while tonight, if the Lord will help me, on this Good Samaritan, what we call, the Bible doesn't call him that, but we call him the Good Samaritan. And our story begins with what the Bible says, that a certain lawyer stood up and tempted the Lord and asking him, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you know, I see some real flaws in this lawyer's life.
Amen.
From the very beginning of our story tonight. The Bible said that he came asking the Lord what he had to do to inherit eternal life. But really, after reading this, I wonder if he was really sincere in his heart about being saved, or whether he was doing what it says in verse 25, simply trying his best to tempt the Lord. And you know, I'm afraid a lot of people, they want to come to Christ, but they're not really sincere in really what they want, and they're not really truthful. I don't believe that the lawyer was really truthful with Jesus when he came to him and asking him, you know, that tempting him and asking him what he should do to inherit eternal life. I won't say to begin with, there is nothing that you can do. Amen. And there's nothing that I can do to inherit eternal life. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, man cannot save man. Amen. There's no way that we can lift ourselves up by our own bootstrap. And that's basically what this man, this lawyer, was asking the Lord. What shall I do? What can I do? Is there anything that I can do that I might inherit eternal life? And that's called a work salvation. Amen. And you know, it's sad to say, but there's a lot of people today that are just like this man. Amen. They're still trying to work their way into heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get there by works. Our Lord said it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, He saved us. Amen. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so no man will get there on his own good works. And this man starts off on the wrong foot. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And then the Lord, because he's a lawyer, the Lord begins to question him about the law. And he asked him, what saith the law? And boy, I'll tell you, he was Johnny on the spot, wasn't he? I mean, he ripped right off two verses of Scripture, that you're to love the Lord thy God, how our love is to be toward him. And then the fact that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And but again, the law cannot save a man. The law is holy and the law is righteous, but the law cannot save a man. If the law could, then Christ died in vain. But the law could not save any individual. The law cannot justify an individual. And so once again, this lawyer is wrong in what he's saying. And Jesus told him, he said about loving the Lord and loving his neighbor. Jesus told him, said, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. Amen. Now, somebody said, well, the Lord is double standard there. No, the Lord knows this man's heart. Amen. And the Lord knows what is in all men's heart.
That's right.
And the Lord knew from the very beginning that this man could not love him, could not love the Lord with the kind of love that it would take to get into heaven.
Yeah.
And by the way, church, I don't want you to take this wrongly or think Brother Hall is out in left field, but we're not saved by loving the Lord. We're saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
Now, come on now, stay with me. We have to learn to love the Lord.
Amen.
You have to be honest with me. You didn't know much about loving God the day you got saved. You just simply knew you were a sinner. Christ died for your sins, shed His blood for your sins, rose again. And He said if you would believe in Him, that you would be saved. And you did that and was saved by the grace of God. But as far as knowing a great deal about the love of God, you did not know that. I had no earthly idea how great God's love was for me. And I've been saved for a lot of years and been preaching for about 26 years. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm still not sure that I know the depth of the love of God when it comes to Him loving unlovely sinners. When you consider the fact that God sent His Son into a hostile world to die at the hands of sinful man, that He might redeem sinful man, that takes a great deal of love, and it's just about more than you and I as little finite beings can get a hold of. And I don't believe anybody's ever really got a hold of the depths of the love of God. Oh my. I'll tell you, God's love is a wonderful thing. And I'm certainly glad that He loves us, but we are to love the Lord as well. And I'm not sure we know a great deal about loving Him either. Amen. And we have a lot of people talking about loving Him. I was in a camp meeting several years ago, and I'm not going to say where it was at. It's nothing about the camp meeting moderator, nothing he did. But they were testifying, and everybody was getting up talking and telling about how much they love the Lord. Oh, I love the Lord this, and I love the Lord that. There was some old gentleman sitting in the crowd, and he just kindly stood up when it come time for his turn to testify. And he said, "Well, I'm glad all you young folk in here know how much you love the Lord." And he said, "That's wonderful." But he said, "I'm going to tell you something greater than that is to know that the Lord loves me." Thank God. It's one thing for us to say that we love the Lord, but I'm telling you, friend, it's a wonderful thing to know that God loves us. When I look at myself, I'm talking about myself now, I was a worm and no man. I was polluted in my own blood. I was lost in my sin. I was on my way to hell. I was rebellious toward God, rebellious toward the church. And yet God, in His wonderful love for me, came to Calvary and died on Calvary that I might be saved by the grace of God. Oh, what love. When I survey the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died, I'm telling you, His love is beyond anything that I could ever imagine in the depths of my heart. It really is. And it gets down to the nitty gritty. The Lord said, "You do these things," and He said, "You'll live."
Amen.
And that lawyer, the Bible said, being willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And again, him willing to justify himself. Now, if you can get a hold of that, what the Bible is saying is that this lawyer is really, by the law, trying to justify himself. Now, I'm going to say to you that man cannot be justified by himself. There's not a man living can justify himself. There is absolutely no way. The law can't justify us, and we cannot justify ourselves. That's right. I'm glad that we're freely... Get this now, we are freely justified by His grace. Hallelujah. Not just justified, but freely justified. That freely means that it's not nothing that we have done or nothing we have to do, but it's all in the grace of God. Amen. That's right. I believe Jonah learned that in the belly of the whale. But salvation is of the Lord, friend, and not of man. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah to God. That's right. We're not justified. Man cannot justify himself. But we're justified by the grace of God. It even says in Romans that we're justified through His blood. Hallelujah. Amen to God. That's right. So no man can justify himself. And then the Lord goes into that story. And He talks about that certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho.
Amen.
And the Bible said that he fell among thieves, and they stripped him of his raiment and wounded him.
Amen.
Stripped him and left him half dead.
Amen.
And went off and left him. And a certain priest came by that way.
Yep.
Looked on him and turned and walked on the other side and continued to walk on. And then a Levite came by.
Amen.
And looked upon him and turned again and went on his own merry way. But the Bible said a certain Samaritan came by and looked at that man, went to where he was, and poured in oil and wine and bound up his wound. And the Bible said he showed him compassion. I'm glad, thank God, when I knelt at the cross, I found compassion from the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, he is ready to forgive sinners. I'll tell you, every sinner that's ever bowed at the cross has found compassion from the hand of God. That man couldn't save himself. He couldn't justify himself. The law couldn't save him. But I'm telling you, when that good Samaritan passed by, and the priest couldn't save him, the Levite couldn't save him. But I'm telling you, when Jesus passed by that way, Jesus was able to save that man that had fallen among those thieves. Thank God for that good Samaritan. Hallelujah. Even though the Bible doesn't say he's good, he is good.
Yes.
Billy Kelly said he's better than that. Said he's better than good. Praise God. The Bible said, "Taste of the Lord and see that he's good."
Amen.
Now, I don't know how you can taste of the Lord. I'm being honest with you. But it said, "Taste of the Lord and see that he's good."
Amen.
And he is good. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. That's right. He's good. He's a good God. I've heard old brother Rick Whitlow say it many times. Thank God we serve a good God. A good God. He is. He's been better to us than what we ever deserved, ladies and gentlemen. You better believe that's right. We ought all be in hell. And thank God, through the goodness of God, God visited us in our lost condition where we were, when we were struggling in sin and muck and marl, trying to find a way to God and could not get to God. He came to where we were and lifted us up. Bless His wonderful name. Washed us in His own blood and birthed us into the family of God. Like Ezekiel said, we was in the field polluted in our own blood, and our cord had not been cut, we had not been suppled with water, but Jesus passed by and saw us polluted in our own blood and cried, "Live!" And by the grace of God, I'm telling you, we were made alive that day by His marvelous, wonderful grace. Amen. Now, I want to say a few things about the characters, if the Lord will let me, the characters that we find in this passage. We find, of course, the lawyer, and then we find that man that was on his journey. We find the thieves. We find that certain priest that came by, and then the Levite. Doesn't say the Levite was certain, just a Levite. And then it says a certain Samaritan passed by that way. And I want to kind of use these if I can. And preach around that way and kind of explain a little bit what these men represent and hope that it will be somewhat of a blessing to you. All right. But it talks about that certain man that left Jerusalem and went on his way down to Jericho. And the Bible said that he fell among thieves. And those thieves, the Bible said, that they stripped him of his raiment and wounded him. And departed, leaving him half dead. Now, there's no doubt about it that certain man represents a lost sinner. There's no question about that. And there's some things that point out to that. Number one, the direction that he was headed. The Bible said that he was headed down to Jericho. Now, I want to say to you, the only way for a sinner is down, friend. Amen. Sin will take you on a downward spiral. If you don't believe me, wait till you get to heaven and ask Jonah if sin won't take you down. It took Jonah to the bottom of the sea. Amen. That's right. The Bible said out of the belly of hell Jonah cried. That sin, that rebellion of his, took him all the way down to the depths of the sea. I remember I preached years ago on a message, a trip to the bottom of this, to bottom of the sea. Amen. And that's exactly where old Jonah went. Down, down, and down. And that's the direction that this man was heading. And that's the direction every sinner's heading is down. And by the way, sin will always take you down. It'll always pull you down. It'll always weight you down. That's why Paul said we're to lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us. It'll weight you down and hold you down. Amen. And you will go down with sin in your life. That's what happened to Naomi and Elimelech. They went down to Moab. They were just going to stay a little while, but they sojourned there. And then they wound up staying, I think the Bible said, 10 years there. Didn't intend to stay long, but I want you to know that sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and it'll keep you there longer than you want to stay. You can say amen to that. And so the direction of the travel that he was traveling in. Then notice the Bible said that he fell among thieves. Sinners are fallen. This man fell among those thieves. Now, I'm going to explain those thieves in just a minute, but he fell among thieves. To me, that is a picture of the fall. Adam fell. And because Adam fell, we're all sinners. How can we live in a generation that does not like to be called a sinner? That's right. They don't want to think that they're bad people. But I'm glad that God came into the world to save bad people. He didn't come to call righteous to repentance, but sinners to repentance. You don't have to be good to go to heaven. You've got to be bad to go to heaven. I've drummed that all of my life that, hey, your goodness will get you nowhere. God came to call the bad, amen, to repentance. I forget who it was. It might have been Brother Jerome. I don't know who it was this morning. I mentioned Simon and Mary Magdalene. And Simon said to Jesus, said in his heart, said if he knew what manner of woman this was, said he's not a prophet, he'd know what kind of a woman this really is. And whoever it might have been, Brother Jerome, whoever it was, said, Might have been somebody. No, it was Brother Shelby. And Brother Shelby said, I wonder how Simon knew what kind of a woman she was. And wonder what she was doing in Simon's house. He knew she was a bad woman.
Amen.
Wonder how he knew it. I believe somebody did a nail right on the head. She may have been there before.
Amen.
Amen. Stop and think these things. Yeah, may have been there before. But I'm telling you, that woman got justified that morning. That old sinner got justified that morning. And it wasn't by the law, and it wasn't by herself, and it wasn't by her works. It was by the grace of God that she was justified that morning.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. And so this fellow represents the lost man. And the Bible said that he had some enemies, that he fell among thieves.
Amen.
Now, those thieves stripped him of his raiment. And then it goes on to say they not only stripped him, but they stripped him and wounded him and departed and left him half dead.
Amen.
These thieves did. Now, you know, I could go a lot of ways with those thieves. But you know what a thief is for? A thief comes to kill and destroy, to rob and destroy. That's what thieves come for. And so they were plural. They wasn't just one of them. The Bible said that he fell among thieves. Amen.
Amen.
And you know what they are without me ever mentioning them. But I won't say, hey, one of them, no doubt, had to be sin.
Amen.
It had to be sin. You better believe that's right. Somebody said, how do you know, Brother Hall? Because I'm telling you, sin, hey, will strip you of all of your dignity. Sin will strip you of all of your morality. You better believe it will. Sin will rob you of all of your joy. Sin will deprive you of the blessings of God. You better believe it will. If sin will strip you naked, friend, and leave you without a friend. You better believe that's right. Amen. That's right. So that's sin. It'll always strip you of your dignity and your morality. Look at these people that's constantly out in the forefront. You constantly hear about people, especially Hollywood stars and athletes. And they're always, when they fall into sin, I'm going to tell you, boy, some of them leave the limelight real quick. They say that the champion golfer is done in hiding somewhere. You know why? He fell into sin.
Amen.
He fell among some thieves, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm telling you, that sin robbed him.
Amen.
That sin stripped him of all his morality,
Amen.
All his dignity. And you know what his problem is? He is ashamed to face people today. That's what his problem is.
Amen.
Amen. I'd be ashamed to face him too if I'd been hit in the teeth with a number four iron. Hallelujah. That's right. But that sin stripped him of all his dignity.
Amen.
And all his morality. Now I'm going to tell you, he's only got one direction to go unless he repents of that and gets right, and that's on down. There's only one direction for a sinner to go unless he repents, and that's down further than where he is.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you'd be amazed at the depth that sin can bring a person. God, what do you think about these derelicts today that's laying out here on Skid Row that's drunk and live off of wine bottles and whatever else they can beg, drinking wine and old liquor, and I'm talking about it, shaft or shave loaves and anything they can get their hands on. You know what? That sin of drunkenness has stripped them of all their dignity and morality. Some sinners don't have an ounce of dignity about them. No, sir. They don't care who knows what they do. How much they drink, cuss, chew, smoke. You'd be amazed. You're all not around here every day like what some of us are. But I've seen them come in here, friend, you can tell by looking at them. All they want is another fix.
Amen.
Another six pack of beer. And they're always trying to get money just to get to another city.
Amen.
Now, I felt sorry for this guy the other day. I really did. He walked in. He said, I've 20 miles down the road. And he said, I'm trying to get to Indianapolis. He said, I'm a veteran. I'm trying to get up there to see the veterans. He showed me his card. It said Service Connected on it. And he said, I've run out of money. Well, he hadn't come 20 miles. He's run out of money. But you know, I had compassion on that old boy. There was something in my heart said, hey, help him out.
Amen.
I told Brother Greg, I said, go in there and get $20 and give to him. And we'll try to help him out. But I'm telling you, hey, there's some of them that comes by here. I saw a woman come by here one day. You could tell by looking at that lady that she was nothing but a pothead.
Amen.
And all she wanted was some money, hey, or a crackhead. And all she wanted was some money for a little more crack. Hey, and she's lost her dignity. They don't mind coming to churches and begging churches for money to satisfy their sin problem. Now I'm telling you, they're looking in the wrong place. If you want your sin problem satisfied, look to Calvary, ladies and gentlemen. Look to the cross. That's where the sin problem is satisfied, is at Calvary. Amen. That's right. And that sin will rob you of your dignity. It'll strip you of all your dignity and all your morality. It's your will. And they wounded him. They left him without strength. He was unable to stand. And I think along with that sin is old Slewfoot the devil. He's right in the middle of it.
Amen.
And society is right in the middle of it. I'm telling you, there's a world out there. You may not believe, but there's a world out there that will rob you of your dignity, your morality. You better believe it will. Amen. That's why the world out there has got the morals of a junkyard dog anymore. I'm so sick and tired of hearing. I'm so sick and tired of some things that's going on. I was reading an article the other day online, and it talked about this. Said that this woman said to the chief of police, is in agreement with this woman not trying to intervene in a rape case. And I thought, well, or this said not intervene, didn't say it was a woman. Started reading the article and found out that it was a woman. And she took a picture of it, called 911. And what was going on, it was in a town in Ohio. And at the end of the story, I found out that it was a 15-year-old boy in broad daylight raping a woman on the sidewalk in the streets of America in broad daylight. Now I'm okay, 15 years old. We're not talking about a 40-year-old man that's been in the depths of sin a long time. I'm talking about a 15-year-old boy that has absolutely no morality about him whatsoever. And the reason he's like that is because he's been raised in a home where sin is there running rampant in that home. Amen. And it's robbed that home and that family of all their dignity and morality that they ever had. Now I'm going to tell you, it'll do you and I the same. People's crazy today. People's crazy today. That same article, a man up in Ohio walked into a Walmart at 1:30 in the morning and went over and done something on a stack of steaks. He peed on it. On a stack, $600 worth of steaks. Now you think people aren't crazy, folks? You talking about that's about the morality of a barnyard dog. Amen. Somebody do something like that. I mean, tell you, they got to be down deep in sin. Now I'm telling you, the world out there is like that. And you'd be amazed at the people that look at these things and just laugh about it. They'd say that's just funny. No, that ain't funny. That goes beyond being funny to being absolutely sinful and ungodly for somebody to do that. And why is it? Because sin has robbed that man of all his morality and dignity that he ever had.
Amen.
Better believe it is. Amen. And society has done the same thing. God have mercy on American society.
Amen.
We're following the Europeans just as fast as we can go. Amen. I better hurry. I want to hurry. I want to hurry. Said it robbed him and his injuries. They stripped him of his dignity. They wounded him. He was without any strength whatsoever. And then they left him half dead. Now I've often wondered how sin and Satan and society could leave a man half dead.
Right.
You're either dead or you're alive.
Amen.
But how could it leave him half dead? Well, I got to thinking on that thing, and I'm going to tell you I left him half dead. He was alive physically, but he was dead spiritually. And I'm going, hey, that's what sin does. When man is born into sin, he is alive physically, but he is dead spiritually. And in being so, you're only half alive. You are man, you are body and soul, but God created man, body, soul, and spirit. But when Adam fell, Adam's spirit died within him. Come on now. And therefore, you and I that are born out of Adam's loins, we're spiritually dead. They left him physically alive, but spiritually he was dead. Left him half dead. Now I'm going to tell you, if you're here tonight lost, that's where you're at. You're half alive and half dead, friend. Come on in the house now. Say amen. You're half alive and you're half dead. Left him half dead. He was, that word half dead means entirely exhausted. Now listen carefully. Sin had left his work unfinished. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you've lost your mind. No, I'm not. Listen carefully. The word finished means complete. The wages of sin is death. But for this man, payday was not fully come. There was still breath in his body. The wages of sin is death. Come on in the house now. The wages of sin is death. That's certainly not talking about just physical death. If so, that man would have been physically dead. But that verse is referring to spiritual death. Are you listening to me? The wages of sin is death. But sin had not finished its work on that man. You know why? He still had breath in his lungs. Sin thought it had him. Satan thought it had him. Amen. Society thought it had him. But thank God there was a man passed by that the Bible said was a certain Samaritan. Amen. Not just any Samaritan, but a certain Samaritan passed by and saw that man in the ditch, went to where he was and poured in oil and wine and bound up his wound and had compassion on that man and cared for that man. That man's name was Jesus. Amen. You remember when you were in that ditch? Thank God, I'm glad he come down. I'm glad he got me out of that ditch, aren't you? He didn't have to. He could have let me lay there and rot, Brother Chad. He could have let me lay in that ditch and rot it, but he didn't. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, there I laid with no dignity, with no morality, full of sin, full of death and hell, but Jesus passed by. Amen. Jesus passed by where I was. I'm going to tell you something. He's still passing by today. Amen to God. He don't pass by every day, but he's still passing by. When he passes by, you better latch hold of him. Pardon my Kentucky, bro. You better latch hold of him. Amen to God. Amen. Now, I want you to stay right with me now. Don't nobody leave me. Now, then it said that a certain priest, passed by where he was.
Amen.
Now, if you know anything about the Bible, a priest come out of the Levitical. He's a Levitical priesthood.
Good.
So he's a Levite.
Good.
So when a priest passed by and a Levite passed by, they're both out of the same tribe. But this priest, and the Bible said, a certain priest passed by where he was and went over to look at that man and then turned and went on his merry way. Now, listen carefully. That priest represents the law that the lawyer was talking about. Represents the law that the lawyer was referring to. And that law, the law came by, it was a certain priest. That law came by, and walked over and looked down where he was at, and turned and went away, and walked down on the other side. Now, I've been preaching for a little while. Now, I've heard a whole lot of preachers rail on that priest. The priest wouldn't help him. The Levite wouldn't help him. But Jesus did. I'm going to tell you something. You listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. It wasn't that the priest did not want to help him. It was the fact that the priest could not help him. The priest represents the law. And there's no way the law can help that man. I can imagine in my mind the priest may have walked over there and looked at that man laying there wounded and bleeding the way he was and stripped of his raiment. And the man may have reached out to him and said, "Help me." And the law may have looked back at him. That priest may have looked back at him and said, "I have no help to offer you.
Amen.
You're guilty.
Amen.
You belong where you are. You ought to die where you are. I have nothing to help you with."
Amen.
And it wasn't that he didn't want to help. He couldn't help. Hallelujah. He couldn't help.
Amen.
But in a way, he did help. I just thought about that. Well, the Bible said the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ.
Amen.
It wasn't too long after the law went by till Jesus come.
Amen.
Woo! Wasn't too long till Jesus come passing by. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah to God. I just thought about that. I just about make a man run his head through the wall thinking about that. Amen. But it wasn't that the priest did not want to help him. The fact that he couldn't help him. In fact, all it could do was condemn him. When the Samaritan came by, he poured in oil and wine and bound up that man's wounds. But listen carefully. The law has no oil. It's not by the law. The oil is the Holy Ghost. It's not by the law that we receive the Holy Ghost of God. It's by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the new birth. So the law didn't have any oil to pour in that man's wound. None whatsoever. That priest couldn't help him. And he had no wine. That wine represents joy. And I'm going to tell you, the law can give you no joy, friend. I learned this a long time ago. You learned it tonight. John chapter number 2 at the marriage supper, when they was having that marriage feast, and Jesus and his disciples were invited there. And Mary told him, said, "Hey," said there, told Jesus, said, "They're out of wine. They've run out of wine." Jesus said, "What is that to me? What is that to me?" And she simply told the servant, said, "You do what he tells you to do." You know, hey, you know what she was saying? Hey, for 4,000 years, Israel had been trying to live off of the joy of the law. They got their joy. You can read back, and they were a happy crowd, boy, when they offered those sacrifices and God came down. Amen. I mean, that cheddar came down and filled them with the blessing of God. They were having a time. David had a time bringing up the ark of God. But I'm going to tell you something. Hey, there come a time when that wine had run out. That's the time of the law. That old wine, and it run out. Now, I'm telling you, there will come a time, friend, well, in a lost sinner's life, if all they're living under is the law, that joy will run out. Boy, they're going to have some of that new wine, thank God, that Jesus gives. I'm talking about the real joy of the new birth and living for God. Amen. There is joy in it, too. There's joy in it. And then he bound up his wounds. There's no way the law can bind your wounds. And I'm going to tell you, that Samaritan tenderly, lovingly, got down where that man was at and poured in that oil and that wine. The Bible said he wrapped up those wounds and tenderly lifted that man and set him on his own bed. And carried him down to an inn and told the innkeeper, said, "Hey," said, "you," and it said, and he cared for him. And the next morning he told that innkeeper, said, you take care of him. Here's 2 pence. And said, "If I owe you anything else, When I come again,
amen.
If I owe you anything else, when I come again, brother, he's coming again, but he won't owe a dime. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He'll not owe one penny to nobody. Son, I'm telling you, he paid her at Calvary, paid in full on the cross. Our debt was paid in full on the cross." Better believe Brother Steve had her right this morning in Sunday school, buddy. There's a debt there that you and I cannot pay, but I'm glad, thank God, Christ paid it on the cross. Hallelujah. Paid our sin debt. Are you listening to me? Amen. Amen. And so that certain priest represents the law. But then it says a Levite came by. The Levite did the same thing that the certain priest does. Only the Bible doesn't say a certain Levite. And I'm going to tell you why it doesn't. Because the Levite represents the lawyer. And he is a certain lawyer. I could also say, therefore, he's a certain Levite. So he it represents himself. And that man also, that man himself, he went and looked into the face of that wounded man in the ditch, and all he saw was himself in a mirror.
Amen.
He saw himself in that same condition in the mirror.
Right.
Now, I'm telling you, when he looked down, all he looked into was the sepulcher of death himself.
Yep.
And there's no help in the sepulcher of death,
yep,
ladies and gentlemen. No help in the... Hey, he couldn't help himself. That's the whole point Christ is trying to make to this man. Hey, he's trying to convince him the law can't help you. And you cannot help yourself. Oh, you're going to have to go to the Samaritan, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. He's got the help. That's exactly right. That man walked over and looked at himself. And he said, I'm going to help myself here a little bit. And the harder he tried, the more difficult he saw it was. And he realized that he could not help himself. He couldn't get himself out of the predicament he was in. I don't care how hard he struggled. Hey, listen to me. A depraved man and a sinful man is just like quicksand. The more you struggle and the more you try to help yourself, the deeper you're going to go into the quicksand. Well, eventually, ladies and gentlemen, you disappear out of sight into the quicksand, you're gone. To hell forever. He couldn't help himself. No sinner can help himself.
Amen.
I think about some others. There was a man in 2 Samuel 9 by the name of Mephibosheth.
Yeah,
amen. David become king. David asked his servant, said, is there any yet of the house of Saul that I can bless? And that servant said, yeah. Said, there's one down in Lodibar, down the land of no bread. Said, but you wouldn't want him. He's crippled. On both feet. By the way, his nurse dropped him when he was a little boy, and he wound up crippled on both feet from the fall. He wasn't worth looking at. He had fallen into sin. And he couldn't help himself out of Lodibar. But David gave the command to that servant, said, you take the best chariot and go down into the land of Lodibar, and you load him up, you load Mephibosheth up, and bring him to the castle. Bring him into my house. Amen. And there he laid all those years, crippled on both feet and could not help himself. And boy, there came a day. There came a day when the king's chariot pulled up in front of the door. And I heard Doc Sattler tell this. He said, Mephibosheth may have thought, my, there's a king's chariot. And he's probably going to, I'm useless to him. I'm worthless. Absolutely worth nothing. I can do nothing. I'm crippled on both feet. And he's probably come to slay me. He sent someone to slay me. Dr. Siler, I've heard him preach this once, and I'm telling you, it got all over me. He said that servant, that he parked that chariot and went on the inside. And he said he was preaching that one time in a fellowship meeting, and said he got that golden chariot parked in front of that old sinner's house, and said it bogged down. No, he said he preached in the tabernacle. He said, it bogged down right there, and we shouted about 15 minutes on the chariot of the Lord. Hey, if you can go back to that day, you were just like Mephibosheth, crippled on your both feet. And you couldn't help yourself, and the law couldn't help yourself. But there came a day that golden chariot of Aminadab come on where you were and parked in front of your house. He said that servant went in. He said, are you Mephibosheth? He said, yes, sir, I'm Mephibosheth. And he said, the king wants to see you. And I imagine he thought, I'm surely dead here. He'll take my life as sure as I'm worth nothing. I'm crippled on both feet. What can I do for a king? But that servant, he noticed the servant was awful tender with him when he picked him up. And lovingly, and he carried him out and laid him very gently down in that golden chariot. This old boy getting ready to take a ride, he ain't never took before in his life. I just got a hold of that. I just got a hold of that. Hallelujah. Can you imagine you has been redeemed, headed toward the King's house in the golden chariot with the high servant who is the Holy Ghost of God carrying you to the King's house. Somebody say amen right there. That servant was a type of the Holy Ghost, and he came in that golden chariot. Stopped in front of Mephibosheth's house and carried him all the way to the king's palace. He went in and fell down before David. David said, Mephibosheth. He said, I'm Mephibosheth. And he said, from now on, you're going to dine at my table. Crippled on both feet. You're going to dine at my table. Now, I've often wondered how Mephibosheth could be a type of a sinner because sinners are made whole. But it doesn't say anything in that text about him being made whole. The Bible said that he's still crippled on both feet. Now I wondered, how on earth can he be a type of the sinner?
Come on, preacher.
I'm going to tell you how. You and I as sinners saved by grace, we're just like old Mephibosheth.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? And we're not fully whole yet. This old body is still under the curse of sin, ladies and gentlemen. But yet God has given us the privilege. Oh, God's given us the privilege. We're half dead. We're half dead, and God's given us the privilege to come to the house of God and set our crippled feet under the table of God and die at the Master's table. Hallelujah. Oh, if you can get a hold of that. What a great God. Oh, Mephibosheth. Still dining with that king. Brother Ballou said, he sat there and said they took the tablecloth and put it down over his feet where nobody could see those crippled feet. They're covered. Isn't that a blessing to know that our old crippled feet is covered today? We can sit down at the king's table, praise God, and dine all day long with the king. Now I'm going to tell you something. We're going to eat more than manna. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you're dining with the king at the king's table, you don't sit there and say, pass the black-eyed peas. A servant walks by and said, would you like some black-eyed peas? Another one comes by and said, would you like some fish? I'm going to tell you what, Miss Hall and I, when we were going on vacation, we got a 25% discount on a restaurant. I told her, I said, well, sounded good. Said they come by and serve you meats and stuff. And I said, that sounds pretty good. I said, let's go down there and give it a try. And I'm telling you, we sat down and had a salad bar that would feed anybody. It would have been enough for anybody.
Amen.
It even had quail eggs on it. Quail eggs. I've never been anything like it in all my life. After we sat down and ordered our iced tea and she got her water, here come these men, all of them dressed in like bohemian style clothing. And they had steaks on a big knife or something, a stick. And then one guy walked by and said, would you like some filet mignon? Well, I believe it would. He'd cut you off a piece of filet mignon. You'd take it with a little pair of tongs and lay it down your plate. Before you could get that, eat another fellow was come by and said, would you like a piece of this, some kind of pork? Or would you like a piece of mutton? Would you like a piece of steak? Would you like this? Would you? And I'm saying, they just kept cutting that stuff off, and I just kept eating, and I kept eating. I said, Lord, have mercy. I've never been this anywhere in my life. But that's how it was. That's how it is at the king's table. You don't have to get up and wait on yourself. Doesn't they wait on you and treat you like a king? Hallelujah. There's only one major difference between that place and the king's table. The king's table is free. They amazed me thoroughly. When I got ready to leave, they handed me a ticket for $165.
Amen.
That was with a 25% discount. I said, Lord, you, I said, have mercy. $165. Now, I admit it was good, but glory to God, I don't know if it was worth $165. I could eat a McDonald's a whole lot of time on $165. You know what I'm saying? But it was service with a smile.
Amen.
And those men that came by wasn't frowning. They were smiling, boy, and cutting that meat off. Take them little tongs and lay that meat down. So I'm telling you, it was something else. It was amazing to me. That's what old Mephibosheth does. I think about David. I'm talking about sinners now that couldn't help themselves, and the law couldn't help them. I think about Mephibosheth in Lodibar. I think about David down in that horrible pit, and he couldn't get out. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't get out. And if you'll read that in it, there's another psalm. I believe it's Psalm 73 or something, like maybe 76. David talks about being down in that pit, and it refers to like a wind tunnel, like a cave that you're trapped in. You can't move and you can't get out. There's no way that you can get out, and it's just straight down, and you're just continually sliding down through that mine shaft, down deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's it. That's a picture of trying to paint. There was David, lost and without God, but he said, "Hey," he said, "I patiently waited on the Lord." David said, "I didn't get in a hurry to believe on the law, and I didn't start worming and squiggling trying to help myself. I had not faith to believe in God." And he said, "I patiently waited on the Lord," and said, "Oh, get a hold of this. He heard my cry, hallelujah to God. He lifted me up out of a horrible pit. Thank God he lifted him out. He lifted him out. He's lifted us out. He set him on a rock. He set us on a rock. He established David's goings. He's established our goings. He put a song in David's mouth. He put a song in our mouth. Even praise unto our God. When was the last time you just cut loose and praised him a little bit? Amen. Thank God. Brother Allen, say everybody believes that's right. Get both hands in the air. Amen. Y'all must not believe him. I'm the only man who got my hand. Jerome didn't even lift his. He must not believe a thing he's so over shouting about. Now, I'm about to get done here. I think about Paul was dead in his sin on the road to Damascus. The law couldn't help him. He couldn't help himself. That light shined brightly upon him. And Paul realized that he was a sinner. Turned to Christ, and Christ gloriously saved him. And he realized that day that, hey, he couldn't save himself. Paul kept the law. Hey, if you think this guy kept the law, Paul kept it to the very letter.
Amen.
And yet he could not save himself by keeping that law. And he could not save. He couldn't save himself, and the law couldn't save him.
Amen.
The priest and the Levite were helpless. Couldn't save nobody. But that Samaritan came by. Now, I want you to listen carefully. I'm just about done. That Samaritan, of course, represents our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I've often wondered why here that a Samaritan is a type of the Lord. Because a Samaritan is mixed. He's a mixed breed person. And why would they have the Lord representing this Samaritan representing our Lord? Well, I think I know why. I might be wrong. But this lawyer was a Jew. Now listen carefully. This lawyer was a Jew. And I'm telling you that the Samaritans were an offense.
Amen.
To the Jewish people.
That's right.
They wouldn't pass through their land. Jesus did. Must needs go through Samaria. But the Jews would not have any dealings with the Samaritans. That Samaritan woman said that.
Amen.
"Why are you asking me a drink?" she said. "For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She wouldn't have nothing to do. You know why? Those Samaritans were an offense.
Amen.
They were offensive to the Jews because of what they were.
Right.
Now you listen very carefully to what I'm telling you. When Jesus passed by that way, get a hold of this. The Bible said the law was given by Moses.
Amen.
Who gave the law to Moses? But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? And when Jesus passed by that way, the law and grace both met together that day.
Amen.
On that mountain. The law. But now here's the part I want you to understand. That Samaritan, when Jesus passed by, when that Samaritan passed by, that Jew laying in that ditch did not say, "Get away from me! Leave me alone! We have no dealings with you."
right.
He gladly received his help.
Amen.
Here's what I want you to see. When Jesus passed by, grace passed by that old boy's way. Now, I'm here to tell you that grace is offensive. Grace is like a Samaritan. Grace is offensive to people.
Amen.
You cannot convince people that there's not something they have to do to save themselves. If you tell them that it's all of grace, that Jesus does it all, every bit of it, you know what they want to do? You're a Calvinist. Well, you're even a hyper Calvinist. They can call me little old Pete. I wouldn't care less. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it is all of grace. Tommy Hayes had it right when he said, all of grace is my story all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace he lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace he has extended when on him my heart depended. And there'll be new grace when it's my time to go. Grace not yet discovered. Grace not yet uncovered. Grace from his bountiful store. Woo! It's all that grace. It's all that grace, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm telling you, grace is offensive to man. When God tells man, there's nothing you can do or nothing nobody else can do to save you out of that ditch you're in. Sin has left you without dignity, without morality. Satan has stripped you and wounded you and robbed you. And society has left you laid. But Jesus came by and poured in that oil and that wine. And I'm going to tell you something. Bound up his wounds, carried him down to an inn, and left him with the innkeeper. Told him, said, now you. And the Bible said he cared for him. The next day, he told that innkeeper, said, there's 2 pence. Said, if that ain't enough, when I come again, that I'll pay you everything that I owe you for you taking care of that. Now, here's the question, 2 things. What is the inn? And who's the innkeeper? Jesus took him to an inn and gave him into the hands of the innkeeper.
Amen.
Said, you take care of him.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what that inn is. I believe it's the church.
Amen.
And not only the church, I believe it's the Baptist church.
Amen.
He carried him down to the church, ladies and gentlemen. That's where every sinner ought to be when they get saved, in the house of God. Every sinner belongs in the house of God that's been saved by God's grace. That's where they ought to be. But boy, we got some must not believe that. They lay out enough.
Amen. Preacher, preach.
Took him down to the house of God, boy.
Amen.
Where he could get fed. Have fellowship with other people. I wonder how many other old wounded certain men there was there. Lawyers laying around there that had been taken down there by the Lord. Now you can take your pick on this, and I'm not going to be choosy on which one, but who's the innkeeper? You ought to be one of 2 things. You ought to either be the preacher or the Holy Spirit, one of the two. And I'm going to tell you what, I lean toward the man of God. Jesus said, here he is. I'm putting him under your watch care. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that God has put the preacher in a real precarious situation.
Amen.
You believe it or not, but a whole lot of your actions and activities are going to roll back on Brother Hall. If you read that Bible without a shadow of a doubt, I've got to give an account for everything you do. Everything you do in conduct and otherwise.
That's right, man. Every other one.
Better believe that's right. Now, I'm going to tell you, sometimes I stand in fear and trembling.
Because
it's not always the people's fault. A lot of times it's a preacher's fault that's not led them right, not preached to them right, not treated them right, not done them right. And that preacher's going to be in a heap of trouble. A lot of trouble. There are some pastors. Read the book of Ezekiel. There are some pastors that they have preyed on the sheep. They have preyed on the sheep. Rather than trying to help the sheep and be a leader of the sheep, they preyed upon the sheep.
Amen.
They've eaten the fat of the lambs,
amen,
but they've not fed the lambs.
That's right.
They've not cared for the lambs.
Amen.
They've not examined the lambs. They've not inspected the lambs.
Amen.
They've not anointed the head of the lambs. They've done absolutely nothing,
amen,
but live off the fat of the lambs. And I'm going to tell you, there's coming an accounting day. An accounting day.
Amen.
Now, what about this Good Samaritan? He find you in that, laying alongside that road. And by the way, Jericho, the word Jericho means a fragrant place. That sinner was headed to what he thought was a real fragrant place. That's what sin will tell you. You go down here, boy, it's a sweet smelling place. I've been to some of them places he told me smelled good. And I'm going to tell you, I've later found out they don't smell too good. Yeah. I found some in places later that they smelled like liquor and puke. They didn't smell too good. And I'm going to tell you, that center, that Jericho, is a fragrant place. Fragrant place. And has it ever occurred to you that's the first city that Joshua destroyed when he went over? The very first. With Jericho. And then he turned around and said, cursed be that city.
Amen.
That's right. Because it's an enticement to the people.
Amen.
It's an enticement to sinners to go there.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, there's thieves laying in just waiting to ambush.
Amen.
And strip, rob, and destroy, and leave a man left. Without any dignity or morality at all.
Amen.
Thank God for that Good Samaritan. That
amen.
I want to praise Him for it tonight.
Amen.
If you're in here lost, you need to be saved. But if you're in here saved, you need to either hear or there one. Get on your knees and thank God that you're
amen.
Here. He saved you and brought you to the end.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about a church. I'm talking about the church.
Amen.
What about that Good Samaritan? The Bible doesn't call him good, but you'd have to come to the conclusion he was. Not was, he is good. You know what? And I don't say this to be ugly. And I'm not nitpicky. I love the song. I love the song. But if you go through a lot of songs that we sing, you know, you can find little flaws in almost every one of them. And I don't know how many times I've sang this song. My wife has sang it for years as special. I don't know how many times I've heard it sang and sang it myself. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And that last part of that song says, no one ever cared for me. Huh? What is that, 423? Yeah, I believe that's right. And like I said, I'm not trying to be nitpicky. Because I love the song dearly. He said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The only one problem with that. It's not just that He cared. That states one time He cares for me. He still cares for me. He still cares for you. Bless His wonderful name. I'm glad He cared when He went to the cross, but His cares didn't stop there. They continue to flow to the child of God. Let's stand together, please.